everybody. Welcome to this week's Power Up. Hopefully, if you're here, it's because you need a distraction, and we can be that positive distraction for you. I'm Trisha Hershberger, here with the lovely and effervescent Maude Garrett.
I will take those two as a double descriptor. Yes. Coming into our headline. What about the, what can I call Trish? What's a good T word? Tantalizing and... help.
Terrific.
A little Amy voice chimes in from off screen.
I'm drowning. Trisha Hershberger.
I didn't do alliteration. You one-upped me. I didn't do alliteration.
Oh, I just wanted that. I don't know why I'm like that, but I thought that would be fun. Welcome to Power Up. This is our lovely kind of sanctuary where we are talking recommendations only. What have you been playing? What have you been watching? What have you been reading? We'll start. You chime in. That's how this goes.
Yes, that is indeed how this goes. And make sure that you stick around through the episode because we will have a couple special announcements at the end of today's episode. All right, so to kick off our power, let's go ahead and bring in Amy Cassandra Martinez. Hi, Amy.
Hello.
And we will all chat what we've been playing.
Awesome and amazing, Amy. That's easy.
Oh, there you go. Yep.
I like that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I like it too. I like it too. All right. So what has everybody been playing? I see sports on here, which to me always makes me go, who did that?
Who's playing sport?
What? I don't know. Oh, that would be me.
That would be Amy. Amy, you're that playing NBA 2K21?
I did, for sure. I did play that, and I will be playing that. I don't think y'all know, or at least aren't as familiar with my history of sports. I definitely, like, since moving to California, I've kind of let it go, but I'm getting back to my roots. I grew up in San Antonio, Texas, and the ET, stop it. Yes, the Spurs. Oh, my goodness. The Spurs are fantastic. That's the basketball team, NBA. Mm-hmm. I grew up with them winning so many championships. So it was like a regular thing for all of us in San Antonio to watch the Spurs and then go to HEB, which is like Ralph's, like the grocery store, get a newspaper back in the day when newspapers were more normal, and then like see Tim Duncan on the front page. And
his name is Tim Duncan, and he plays NBA.
I know it's meant.
His name is Tim Duncan.
Yeah. It's perfection. So, I really wanted to try this game. I practiced it in the month of October a little bit because I wanted to start streaming it on my Twitch, and it's really fun. And it's every single time that I play it, I get better, which is very rewarding because. Mm-hmm. I know, Maude, you feel a certain way about playing sports games because it's like, well, why can't you then just play the real thing?
Someone edited my Rock and Kevin Hart interview.
Yes, someone did. Yes. I am a woman of short stature, so I don't think that's necessarily a possibility. And also, like, where would I go right now? What I really do love about playing NBA is, one, I understand it. Two, I'm playing as the Spurs, which I love. Three, I'm actually, like, I'm getting better and making the baskets. Oh, that's such a good feeling, especially when I just throw it. And then Tim Duncan just, like, dunks it. He's not a big dunker. But he'll certainly,
his
like, run towards it.
Begs to differ.
Yeah, I know. But I've played Tim's as Michael Jordan once. But he's
Tim's
a dunker.
Sort of Duncan?
Sort of. But Michael Jordan's a dunker. So it's really fun. I love it so much. It's really easy. And I guess they're, I don't know what they're called, like half quarters. So are they 6 minutes long? Something like that. So it flies by. I played two full games the other day, and it was like an hour and a half. And it was really fun. And I highly recommend if you're like, yeah, I kind of like basketball. I like to pretend I'm a basketball player. And kind of reminisce on, you know, sports and basketball. And also hearing the sounds of being in the, I was going to say arena, that's not right. In the court.
Court.
In the court, yeah. So, yeah, highly recommend. And oh, it's great. It's great. I don't know if I'll really be playing as other teams much. I'll probably just stick to the Spurs, but I know I can count on them, and they're great. And I, oh, God, I love them so much. So,
I love that you can connect with, like, Amy that loves the Spurs and comes from tech. Like, I love that the game can mean all of that to you. And when you said it's a game that you get a little better every time you play, I mean, that's, to me, that's a mark of a well-made game.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of things going on in my head right now. One, I cannot tell Zelda that daylight savings is kicked in, so it's actually not dinner time for another hour. She's like,
she's
losing it.
Yeah, Zelda's normally the timer for the show to be like, hurry it on up.
It's dinner time. The second thing is I actually used to play NBA Hangtime. NBA Jam. The one on the Nintendo 64. Yeah, NBA Jam. And I didn't really like the sports aspect, but I did like that you could unlock different sort of like heads for playing. And one of them was Franken-cow. And it was like a cow's head. But the fact that they called it Franken-cow was so cool. And it became an in-joke with my brothers and I, where like out of nowhere, you'd just be like, Franken-cow.
Stormshanks in chat asks, is that the game with the flaming basketball?
Yes. Yes. When you get on fire, the basketball would, catch on fire. And, like, when it goes through the hoop, it would singe the net on that. You also had, this is where I learned my air ball. And there's alley-oop. There's, like, a bunch of different terminologies for that. But I was also, because I had brothers, we were collecting Pokemon cards and NBA cards. And so I know everyone who was, like, the big hitters in NBA in 1997. So Patrick Ewing of the New York Knicks. Scottie Pippen, Chicago Bulls.
Yes! Oh my God, I love it.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I know that Toronto Raptors was something. Charles Oakley? No. Charlie Oakley?
Charles Barkley? No.
Orlandoing in chat says, Amy, so are you a Spurs and Lakers fan now?
No. 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 I watched the finals and I was, I love that LA won. Yes. It's cool to be in a city where we win. Like I said, I got used to that growing up, but no. And I was also kind of rooting for the Heat because Miami, because they were such underdogs and so many things kept just going against them. But yeah, I was happy that the Lakers won just because we also got the Dodgers winning. Like it's cool. I like winning. I mean, who doesn't, right?
Yeah, it was very exciting. All right, Maude, what have you been playing?
Fungeons and Flagons, guys. We're up to episode 9. So we're basically, I'm planning for the penultimate episode and then the finale. So we are really at the crux of it all. I'm sweating bullets trying to make this kind of like come together because I've got big plans, but who knows how that's going to go down. But the last guest that we had on, I don't know if anyone watched iZombie or they were big One Tree Hill fans, but Robert Buckley, who is an actor who I, at the start of COVID, started DMing him, his high school friend and his wife, and they had like a little small group. And I was basically, they'd never played before, none of them. So I was helping them through a campaign and I realized I was playing very difficult. I really put them through the ringer. One of them kept dying like a lot.
Oh no.
Yeah, but it was really, really fascinating seeing how Rob played because he was really, really into the rules.
Yep.
And I thought being an actor, like my introduction to D&D, you know, Trish, I was like, oh my God, there's so many rules. All I want to do is become a character and do things, which is why I created Fungus and Flagons to begin with.
Yeah.
We throw out the rule book and it's just improv. And he was very hesitant, just being like, oh, I don't really want to do accents. I don't really like the character stuff, but I really want to know what the rules are. And I was like, oh, honey.
Well, Fungeons and Flagons is a good maybe gateway into full D&D then.
But he likes the full D&D.
Oh, he's like me. He'd like to play the campaigns that I like.
What are you, ENFJs? Yeah. But he absolutely crushed it this last episode. We had our very first dungeon experience where they had to collect something from the dungeon, and it was an underwater temple. And I don't want to spoil too much, but his character was fantastic. And honestly, it was some of the best fungions we've had. So,
if there's anyone watching on Twitch right now that doesn't know what fungions and flagons is, can you just give them like your short pitch?
Sure can. Fungions and Flagons is basically very D&D inspired, but you throw out the rule book and it's more about creating a character, me putting you in an environment, which is very sort of fantasy-esque, and you trying to just get through it. But I have three people on every week, and I am the moderator, and all you have is one D20 that will decide whether you can or cannot do the thing that you're trying to do, whether it be swing a sword or jump over a ditch. We do much more exciting stuff than that.
Yeah, CP Falcon says in chat, D&D for people who don't want no maths. Yes.
There are two types of people. There's one and there's two.
It's true. It's true. But it's also why you can compliment each other to put together a show like this. But yes, Fungeons and Flagons is in its home stretch. You're doing an awesome job. I saw people in chat saying this is the best season yet.
It was really, really difficult because this is the first season that we've obviously gone not only live, but online. So, yeah, it was a real test to try and figure that out and to come up with new ideas every single season without kind of like regurgitating or doing the same stuff every time. And this was very, very different to anything that we've done before. And I think it was really fun because usually it was, we'd have guests come in, like, as you know, Trisha, you've done that a lot, but you've also been a main cast member, I suppose. But this one, having the rotating third guest, has been really, really interesting because it really changes the feel of every single episode.
Cool.
Yeah.
More
what
fun.
What would you say is like a, what would you say is a huge advantage of it being virtual? Because it's like, obviously there's a crap ton of challenges, but what would you say something that's like a positive about it?
Kate Welch, who is one of our cast members, lives in Seattle, and I couldn't have got her like on the show if that was the case. So stuff like that has been really, really fun. And a lot of people at the moment are sitting at home bored. So pulling in favors and asking people to join in has not been as difficult.
Yep. Now is the time to do that, to get all the guest spots. But then I feel like, conversely, for people that do what the three of us do, it's like, oh, well, I don't need to book Trisha or Maud or Amy because I can get Jessica Alba. She's free and not doing anything else at home right now. And it's like, I can't wait go back to work.
Also, we're not Jessica Alba. We've got something else.
That's a good way to look at it. That's a good way to look at it, for sure.
Someone did a shout out to Altoona, by the way, Trish.
I know, I saw that. STS2884 shouted out Altoona.
Where did that name ever come from? Because I make you think of it on the spot. I'm like, all right, and your name is? And you went, Altoona. And I was like, yep. Just happened?
Yeah, it just happened. I don't know. Yep. And then people told me afterwards, apparently that's a brand of cat food, but I don't own a cat, so it's not like that would have.
Altoona.
Yeah, it's not like that's ranger. Where I would have known it from. I don't know. Now Amy's Googling it because she's like, is it though?
It's a town in a town in Pennsylvania?
Oh, apparently it's also a town in PA.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
There you go. God, we need to get Henry Cavill on Fungeons.
That would be amazing.
I think every time someone's like, who's your celebrity crush? I was like, I don't really have it. I'm not really a celebrity. It is so Henry Cavill.
It's Henry Cavill.
Like, he's my 10. He is my 10. It's the English accent. It's the butt chin. It's the biceps. It's the building a PC.
You know what, Maud, if someone asked me, what is Maud's type? Henry Cavill is a pretty good answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Henry, are you watching? Hello. Hello.
Yep. Paige, Henry Cavill.
Filming for Witcher.
Maud Garrett is interested. All right. I put two games on for this week's recommendations, and you'll see them both on the left side of the screen. But I have been playing Watch Dogs Legion, which I'm only about 3 hours in, but basically it's a game about hacking where there is a very corrupt military state that is telling people that they are making life better for everyone when really they're just surveying everyone 24/7. You have no privacy anymore. It's very bad. And they're trying to frame a hacking group DedSec for a bunch of bad stuff that happened. Anyway, you are in the hacking group and helping to recruit other hacktivists to your cause to kind of take it down. Yeah. So that's Watch Dogs Legion. And you do feel like a super OP hacker. It is very fun. But the conceit of Watch Dogs Legion, or the big thing with Watch Dogs Legion, is that any person you see in game, you can be. So, like, if you're driving down the street and there's an old lady with her walker walking down the street, you can stop, get out of your car, and go recruit that lady to DedSec and then play as that lady. So anyone you see in the game, you can play as. So, like, there's there was a whole demo at E3 where they just did, like, a whole section as an old lady. And she was just kicking some butt. But, yeah, it's been pretty fun to mess around with. And then the other game that I did a playthrough on this channel of recently is the one in the lower left-hand corner there. These are all characters from the next game in the Dark Pictures anthology called Little Hope. And the Dark Pictures anthology, if you're not familiar with it, is the anthology, the first of which is Man of Medan. And they're kind of these narrative genre games that are very creepy. Very much in Amy's line of interest normally, so I think you would probably like it. But this one, Little Hope, was very scary. And it came out on October 30th, just in time for Halloween. So I did a spoopy stream. And I
watched that.
Yeah, I did a spoopy stream. I did the first half of the game by myself because I knew that it was a 4 to 5 hour experience. You can get the whole story pretty quick. And you can play it online with other people in movie mode, where I think you take on different characters. I did it by myself for the first, like, 2 hours because I knew after Logan went to bed, I was going to recruit my husband, Nate, and my nephew, Max, to play it with me because I feel like it would be more fun to scare everybody as a group and have us work together. And I knew there was no way we could start that after baby bedtime because we'd all fall asleep before it was over. So, yeah, I did half of it by myself and then the other half later that night with everybody else. But anyone who didn't watch the stream, because then you might know what happens, I highly recommend it if you're looking for a horror movie-esque experience in a video game where your choices decide what happened. And even if you did watch my stream, there is the way that it ends, there's a lot of replayability because there may be something completely different that happens in the end if you make different choices and play it a different way. But I enjoyed it. I actually liked Little Hope, the second part, better than I liked the first part, Man of Medan, personally, just personal preference. But if you, also mention, if you're a fan of Until Dawn, it's a lot of the same creators that made Until Dawn that are making the Dark Pictures anthology. So yeah, that's,
Thank you for convincing me not to play it.
Oh, you don't want to play it? Even for like spoopy fun times?
Okay, so spoopy and fun don't belong in a sentence together when I'm talking about it.
Okay, well, I mean, I get that.
Yeah.
If that's not your thing. Amy, do you think you would play a game like that?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you didn't say it was on Xbox One, did you?
I think it is. I think it's on all platforms.
Okay, then yeah.
Yeah, Dark Pictures Anthology. Get it. Sprinkles the Dragon Cat in chat says it is similar to Until Dawn. It certainly is.
STS calling me out going, Maud's afraid of being the imposter in Among Us. She can't. Everything else is too much for her. It's true. I hate being the imposter.
And it,
especially with a new group. Oh, awful.
It was definitely scary. The first of the Dark Pictures anthology series deals with a bunch of teens on a boat that gets hijacked by pirates. And it's in modern day, so modern day pirates. Which is terrifying. And the second one, Little Hope, deals with a more supernatural type of events that happen in a town where there were a lot of women persecuted as witches. Oh. So you're dealing with that in the second one. Yes, it's very, very spooky. But it was a good time. I enjoyed it. And so, yeah, Watch Dogs Legion and the Dark Pictures Anthology are my two picks for playing.
Is it called Little Hope? Because it only gives you little hope?
It does only give you little hope. It's actually called Little Hope because the town you get you are in is called Little Hope.
But you leave having very little hope of being alive.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
I mean, also true. You totally get
it. We got through playing. Love it. What's everyone else playing at the moment? I want to hear some recs.
Oh, what is everybody in chat playing?
And also, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. E.T. just ran and like unplugged my stuff.
Can you
hear me? So I plugged it back in. Yeah. Very excited. Oh, he's tired now.
I've got an idea, and this is very convenient, but every time we ask for recs, as in recommendations, a rec from Mass Effect should pop up.
There you go. It's a new thing for Geek Bomb. Make it happen. Make it happen. I see AstroNerd4 says lots of Among Us. STS2884 says Pokemon DLC and excited for the new Mortal Kombat pack. Beertastic Yogi says Horizon Zero Dawn. Stormshanks is playing Sleuth, Civ 6, and Among Us. Yes, shout out Civ 6.
So am I, Thierry. I'm still going through my Witcher 3 gameplay as well.
Draken 75, cool. Shout out Borderlands 2, getting ready for next gen. Do it.
Ah, oh, man. I played Borderlands 2. I finished it in one sitting. I did a 24-hour gaming marathon, and I started it, and I finished it.
Yep. Do it. I love it. So lots of great games out there to play, whether or not you're jumping into the next-gen console market, which is happening so soon. 5 days for the Xbox Series X and Series S, which, yes, I do have sitting just over here because I was filming something with it this morning. But, yeah, the embargo just went up on those today. But I feel like there's so much else going on in the world right now that people are like, you know what? My Xbox review can wait. Like...
Is it loud? How loud is it? It looks like it's going to...
Not at all. It's exactly the same volume level of fan as my PCs over here that I currently have running now while we're recording. Super, super quiet and pretty cool. As far as like I ran the same game on both my Xbox One and the Xbox Series X for about a half an hour. And then did a hand temperature test over both. And the Series X was noticeably cooler than the Xbox One, which this is all packing right. A lot more power in a, you know, pretty tiny footprint. So pretty good. Yes, STS, it does have ray tracing. The video that I'm going to put on YouTube is probably coming out this weekend. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see if I can get it together. But yeah, that
if you
pretty
don't,
much.
No stress. No stress. No,
I know. There's so much going on right now. I'm like, I will get to it when I get to it. Sprinkles the Dragon Cat says, it does look like a cube PC, except for a very tiny one. Like, this is a standard size tower right here, and this is noticeably shorter than that. It's about 15 centimeters by 15 centimeters by 30 centimeters for people that are looking at size.
And metrics, thank you. I know what a centimeter is. It's a foot.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's just easier a lot of times when you make a video to just do that.
I miss centimeters.
Yes.
Bloody inches.
All right. So let's move on to the W of power, huh?
Watching.
We did all our playing. What's everybody watching?
What you watching? Oh, baby Mando. I feel like we're all watching a bit of Mando, so do you want to kick us off, Triish?
Oh, yeah. I watched The Mandalorian Chapter 9. I thought it was fantastic. My TLDR review of Chapter 9 is I felt like I was watching an old-school fantasy Knights and Dragons, except for in Star Wars. And I was way into it. I thought it was a good time. And everybody likes Timothy Oliphant, so that was exciting, too.
Yeah. I mean, he can take a seat behind Henry Cavill, let's be real. I agree, it felt like a quest and side missions and NPC characters, didn't it? And then, you know, oh, I will give you the item you need if you help me with this side quest of killing a Krayt dragon. But it was great. It was great.
Yeah, it was super fun. And I needed the child in my life at that moment. So
it's so cute. When is he not cute? When
the cutest.
Is it, I guess. It's just so cute all the time. But we got a little bit more Oliphant screen time as well, which I ain't even mad about. But I've been doing Mortalorian recaps with Leo from Geek Bomb. People are getting to know Leo, which is really cool.
Nice.
So that usually happens Friday afternoons. Oh, goodness. There's going to be a new episode tonight. That was too quick. So I have to do Mortalorian and then prep for Fungions. Yeah. Cool. Good. Do you think that season two is looking to be better than one?
I don't know. To me, one finished so strong. That last episode of one was so good. Although I've heard people say that they liked chapter 9 better than the finale of season one. So we'll see.
I think, and I said this in my Mortalorian recap, but like we kind of saw this episode already. It was like episode 2 or 3 of the first season where the Jawa Sandcrawler got attacked, and then they needed the thing from the giant rhinocerosy kind of creature, and then that happened.
Yep. So your thoughts or your feelings are mixed, Maud, on it? I mean, this normally happens when Maud and I both talk about the same thing, is Maud is a lot more critical and I'm a lot more hype, but that's okay. Amy, have you seen Chapter 9 of Mandalorian yet?
No, I'm behind one episode, okay. But, I don't think there's a moment where I don't want to just cry tears of happiness after seeing the child. Every single frame, I just want to sob because he's so realistic. I have a hard time focusing on the rest of the show because I'm just like, where is he? Is he here?
Have y'all seen the little animatronic doll that's like, I don't know, yay big, probably life-size for Baby Yoda. Emma Fife Instagrammed it out. I think she got one. It's so cute. It's so cute. You can have that in your house, and it is so cute. Also slightly terrifying, but so cute.
Luther saying, I want to see if we get Rex. I think that's Boba Bud. I think that little thing at the end, I don't want to spoil, but I don't know if it's going to be Rex. We don't know. But STS brought up a really great point, and there was a tweet circulating about the fact that they hired actual deaf actors to do the signing for the Tusken Raiders because I think it was like one of the people making the decisions had worked with deaf actors and they were like, why aren't we doing this? If they're signing, why don't we actually pull up the seat and bring actual deaf actors in there to do some signing? So that was really, really cool. And yeah. I liked that.
I liked it too.
Yeah.
Maud, what are you watching?
Such a good show, guys. I know this is a Rex show. This is... If you're not watching Queen's Gambit, you're not living. Ooh. Queen's Gambit is such a good show. It's on Netflix. I believe it's 8 or 10 episodes. It stars Anya Taylor-Joy. And it's set in the 1950s in America. And she is an orphan who goes through sort of like this boarding school. And she's incredibly gifted at chess. And I cannot believe chess drama is a genre, but it's so compelling and well told. And it sort of like explains her life getting adopted. Her new mum has, you know, been divorced and she's turned to addictions. And then she's also kind of facing addictions. So it's kind of like having success, but then battling your demons. But Anya Taylor-Joy did a bunch of interviews and she said the thing that she liked most about her character, Elizabeth or Beth Harmon, I believe it was not that she was a woman playing chess, but that she was just someone who wanted to be the best at chess.
Hmm.
So like this whole concept was like, no, women are playing chess. Well, she's a woman who she's just so good. And she was like, but that doesn't matter to Beth. It doesn't matter that she's a woman and that there's no other women in this tournament. All that matters is that she becomes the best. And it's one of the best finales. It was such a feel-good moment. The music, the storytelling, the arcs, the characters. I think this is a contender for maybe even more than Emmys, but this is definitely the one to watch. Ollie, okay. Watching The Queen's Gambit is a good night in.
You know, I saw the like teaser play for Queen's Gambit and we ended up passing on it because I was like, oh, this kind of looks historical and about chess. And I was like, I really need something just funny that I don't have to think about right now. So I defaulted to Schitt's Creek, which I see people talking about in chat. Always a good time. happy to default to that. But maybe at some point, thanks to your recommendation, Maude, I will have to give Queen's Gambit a go.
It's really, really good. It's not like funny. Mm-hmm. It's really, really well done. It looks beautiful. It's really well acted. Someone was saying, is it a little bit slow? Oh, and my face. I've heard it starts a bit slow. Should I stick with it? Oh, my God. I didn't even think it started slow. But, yeah, it's really, really good. It's on Netflix if you guys want to watch that. It's trending number one at the moment.
How long is each episode, roughly?
Between 50 and 60 minutes, I believe.
Okay.
45.
So almost an hour per episode. And the whole season's already out?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I binged it.
Cool.
I binged it over a couple of days. Sigma binged it in one day. Yeah, it's really good. And it is fun to watch like that in succession as well.
Awesome. Yeah,
guys, it's just brilliant.
Queen's Gambit. There you have it. Yeah. And Amy, you're watching something that has been played in my house at least once per day for the past 2.5 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. Well, surprise. Yeah, I actually had not seen this movie, The Nightmare Before Christmas, like ever.
You and Maude both.
Yeah.
Maude, can you not hear us?
What are you saying?
Oh. Maude, you haven't seen The Nightmare Before Christmas, have you?
No.
Right, that's what I'm like. And Amy just said she hasn't seen it. So that's what I was like, both of you have not. Okay, so Amy, you finally did see it. What were your thoughts?
Spaced.
So it was a year ago that I worked at this Freeform event, and they had a bunch of like photo op places where you could take photo ops. And I didn't realize that so many of them were actually from The Nightmare Before Christmas. So I was watching the movie, and then I was like, oh, like that Leo meme from, what is it, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where it's just like, so that was me for like the first 20 minutes or so. So it made the experience more enjoyable. The director of The Nightmare Before Christmas is the same director as Coraline. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people, when they talk about Halloween movies that aren't so scary, they bring up Coraline. When I watched Coraline, I was creeped out because of the buttons. Mm-hmm. So I was a little bit hesitant because I'm like, is this going to be creepy? But it wasn't. Like, I think people that don't like horror, Maude, would still enjoy this, Maude. Now, is it a horror movie or a Halloween movie or is it a Christmas movie? That is like the never-ending debate. I personally think it's a Christmas movie. With horror-y,
it's in the title.
We had this conversation. Yeah, was it last week, Maude? We had this conversation last week, and my answer, and I believe most of chat said it is decidedly both.
Yeah, well, it's like Holiday. Holiday covers all of the. I saw it as well, guys. I really liked Holiday.
Oh, I've never even heard of Holiday.
It's the new Netflix one with Emma. What's her name? Emma Roberts and Luke Bracey. I think I like the fact that Luke Bracey is doing an Australian accent in it. And his acting style had elements of Pat Verona, who was played by Heath Ledger in 10 Things I Hate About You. And there was just something really, really nice about that Australian accent. And it was a cheeky sort of rom-com. I was about it.
Okay. Sometimes it is, you a need little a raunchy. Cheeky rom-com.
It's a rom-com that it's like you think it's going to be like super sappy Hallmark, but they swear all the way through it. It's a little, it's a bit raunchy. It's a bit cheeky. I was like, yay. And then some plot lines, you're like, sure, that makes zero sense. And I have no idea why you did that, but I'm here. I'm in for the ride.
Thierry in chat says The Nightmare Before Christmas is a movie that is good from October to Christmas. And I agree with that. And the reason it's been on my TV every day for the past 2.5 weeks is because this is the movie that my son Logan is currently into. And anyone who has a tiny human, especially those under 5 in their house, knows that repetition is like the best. So when they get hooked on something, it is that all the time. So it is once or twice a day, every day, leading up to Halloween, we were watching The Nightmare Before Christmas. And it was really interesting because he's a good gauge for me of, is this scary? Because he's extra sensitive to it. Obviously, he's 3 years old. So when he watched it the first time, he was a little scared of Oogie Boogie. Not gonna lie, a little scared of Oogie Boogie. And then I think we did what we normally do, where if there's something that's kind of a little scary in a movie, like Finding Nemo, which I was obsessed with for a while, we say like, "Oh, that's so silly," and try to like, you know, narrate around what's scary about it or figure out what's scary about it and kind of make
Oogie Boogie is frightening.
Yeah, Oogie Boogie is the bad guy. But somehow Logan in his mind, it was the best thing. One night at dinner, he was like, we said something about Oogie Boogie being scary, and he was like, "No, I like Oogie Boogie. He's a nice big boy." We were like, "What?" It's actually in the song, "He's the meanest guy around," is a lyric to a song. "No, he's a nice big boy." Okay, so now we joke around that Oogie Boogie is a nice big boy. And I think Logan's answer was, "Well, he's not mean to me." And my husband was like, "Well, how do we argue with that?" We don't. So I would say decidedly, from my son's perspective, not a scary movie. Very fun, not scary. The music is very musical theater. So you want to listen to it a few times to get it caught in your brain. But I think if you just listen to it once, you'd probably be like, "Oh, there's like too many lyrics in this song." You know what I mean? Like a lot of musical theater can kind of be like that.
I know exactly what you mean.
Mm-hmm. I like that I was finally able to
sometimes sort of talk, sing, but I'm not really singing, but I'm talking, but I'm singing to get the story across.
Yeah.
Like that?
It's that. But with stop motion animation.
No, I don't need to see
the animation movie, though. Yeah. I remember this was the movie that emo kids in high school and middle school were so into. Uh-huh. So I was not part of that group at all. And so then growing up, I was like, "Oh, I don't know if I will ever see this." But I finally did. I'm very glad I did. So this is also my message to everyone that's been thinking like, "Hey, you know, I haven't seen that one movie. Maybe I should see it. Why not?"
I'm going to watch Crimson Peak is my next one.
I love it so much.
I don't even know what that is.
Crimson Peak, Guillermo del Toro, 2010? What was it? 2013? 2015? Jessica Chastain and Tom Hiddleston. This is a gothic romance movie.
Yeah, it is.
And I've been really getting into, and we're about to go into it, but I'm getting into a lot of gothic horror, and gothic romance lately.
Yeah.
And I like this genre. I like where I'm heading with it. I feel comfortable. It's fun. I'm in.
Well, you know what, Maude? I think that's the perfect segue. Talk to us about the gothic horror you've been reading about.
I'd love to. This is The Haunting of Ashburn House. The author is Darcy Coates. My brother's name is Darcy. She lives in Australia. So I like that. I had to read this in basically 1 week for Nerdist Book Club. And only my evenings are usually free and night. So I would read before I would go to bed. This is a horror book. I would get so scared reading about this sort of like corpse woman who was like falling apart but haunting this house and this woman living inside the house. Really well done. Darcy Coates has written something like 14 books in the last 5 years.
Whoa.
She's on a roll. And I actually managed to land Darcy in the Geek Bomb After Show Book Club to have a Q&A. And she's so sweet and lovely and wonderful. And it was such a highlight. But for me, I think I've only really read like 3 horror books before. And that's The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson, The Shining, and now this one, and I've moved on to Mexican Gothic as well, which is all about sort of like these haunted houses. So even though I'm not good at watching horror, now that I've seen Cabin in the Woods and I'm going to watch Crimson Peak and I'm kind of like getting a little bit closer and closer, reading about it's been a lot of fun. Because I guess at the end of the day, it's my imagination and people aren't showing it to me. So I feel like I have a little bit more control over it all. Like if I don't like it, I shut the book. But with the movie, I guess you can stop it as well, but it still kind of plays. I don't know. But I absolutely recommend this book, and we're trying to petition it to be like the next Haunting of like Bly Manor, or the Haunting of Hill House. It wasn't necessarily based on Shirley Jackson's Hill House. Michael Flanagan will do like a collaboration of a few different books and consolidate them into the one. But I really, really enjoyed that, and it was a really, really good read, but not at nighttime. Mm-hmm. Not at nighttime. One of the readers had a nightmare. I had a nightmare last night, though.
Yeah, I can't read scary books anymore. For whatever reason, scary books are, like, more scary to me than TV and movies. And I've somehow, it's, this one goes back from when I was a little kid, I used to read horror books a lot. Like, so I was very into, like, Fear Street, which a lot of, Goosebumps first, then Fear Street.
Goosebumps, Fear Street.
And then there was another one. Pike? What was it? The,
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Somebody That's Pine.
Christopher Pine. We were just talking about that on Nerds Book Club.
Yeah. Those two. Yeah.
And so that's like the progression.
Yeah. And then after that, I was like, I got this. I'm not scared. I love these books. And picked up Stephen King's It. And this was like sixth grade. And I got about one chapter in and was like, nope. And yeeted that book across the room. And ever since then, I'm like, nope. Because even after that, for me in my mind, it wasn't like shut the book and it was go away. It was like, now it knows I know about it, and it's coming for me. Like, and it knew, in my mind, I was like, it knew I read the book. Like, and so I think I threw the book and it went, like, under my bed, and then I was convinced it was living under my bed because that's where I had thrown the book. Like, my imagination is too wacky. So, yeah, scary books are, no thank you.
This one's not, I got the yawns. Sorry, guys. This one's not so bad. It was actually a really fun, good read. And what I really liked about, what I really liked about the pacing of it all is that there'd be something super, super scary. And then you had about two chapters to digest. So it wasn't just like, it wasn't like, you know, one third of the book was just a panic attack. Like, I really kind of nurtured you through it, and then the end, and then you're like, okay. But I read like two chapters ahead where it explained everything, and as soon as I read that explanation, I was like, oh, thank God, now it makes sense and I'm not scared anymore. There you go. Darcy Coates, everyone. She's done a lot of gothic horror and horror books, so if you are into that, I recommend checking out her stuff.
Amy, what have you been reading lately?
So this one, I'm still in it, but it's called I Love You So Mochi. Do you get it?
Oh, I love that already.
I love you so mochi.
It's so sweet. Wait, maybe you can. Well, hey, it's there. But yeah, it's by Sarah Kahn. And it's very YA-y. So just keep that in mind, because I was looking for just women authors of color, and I realized that I'd never read a story or seen a movie that wasn't a horror movie set in Japan.
Crouching movies or books?
Yeah, movies or books or anything.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
I haven't seen that.
It's really good. It's so stylistic.
It's really good.
Did you watch Mulan?
Oh, well, I've seen Mulan.
Mulan is China.
And I've seen horror movies, and I feel like maybe some of them have been Japanese, but like a good, wholesome, you know, kind of book set in Japan. It's very sweet. Basically, there's this young girl, and she goes to Japan, and I don't know. Like I said, it's very YAE, so it's like, oh, my God, there's this guy. And then even at the beginning, she talks about like trying to design clothes for her friends. And I actually wanted to read a little tiny bit. It won't take long because I got a reference from this. And I really like that I got the reference. Okay. So this is the part where she's trying to convince her friend, Bex is trying to convince her that, she liked the dress that she made her and that she's just going to be like the ultimate Bex. Yeah. So, yes, I love that. It sounds like a superhero name. Like, I'm Kamala Khan, and you're going to help me become Miss Marvel.
Oh, yeah, man. And Amy's hooked.
Yes, I'm like, this is so cool. I love it when stuff overlaps. Like, what was that other book that I read? And they talked about Ori. And I was like, Ori! Oh, my God! So I love when they do that. With that being said, this book does go into, like, trying to figure out who you are. They really touch on this at the beginning where her character is very, she'll get stuck at a certain part and she, like, in her life, and she won't make that next decision. So even as something as small as, like, seeing a group of girls and the popular girls, she won't even go to talk to them, because then she starts imagining, like, oh, well, that would be a much better scenario if I just imagine it. It's like, oh yeah, and then we would go and, like, I'd get to sit with them. And so she doesn't go and talk to them because she likes that scenario that plays out in her head.
That's dangerous though.
Yeah, so it's really nice that she gets to really learn how to like have some balls and go for it, you know, because life's too short. So I really like that she thinks that, and she learns to think that way. So it's also like, it is YA, but like coming of age. And then there's some fun stuff in Japan where you go and travel to Japan, which all now, right. I want to go.
So. Okay, put a finger down. Ringu?
Ringu? Yeah, but that's a horror movie. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
She said that's not a horror movie.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Lost in Translation?
That's what I was going to bring up.
Oh, crap, yeah, but I was so young at it. I just remember being like, this, I'm lost in this. But sure, okay. I mean, is that a good, wholesome? That's a confusing movie. It's not horror, but it's not like normal, like happy.
No, it's definitely not a happy feel-good film, I would say.
Ooh. What about Howl's Moving Castle, Princess Mononoke? I finally watched Spirited Away.
Did you cry a lot?
No. I think because I've been making my way through Ghibli films, and Howl's Moving Castle was my first, and I still think that's probably my favorite. Princess Mononoke. I wept for like 90 minutes after that. I wept.
I still haven't really seen them because I was all excited to start watching them with Logan, and he had zero interest.
They're not Logan movies.
Well, that's Ponyo. Some people were telling me Ponyo's good for the little ones. So I tried that and he wasn't having it.
Got it.
Logan likes
he's an adult film. Not like that, but like there's blood and death and destruction. And I haven't watched Akira yet. It's not on HBO.
My neighbor, Totoro.
Yes. So that's the next one I'm going to do. That's the next one on the list. Okay.
See STS2884 in chat says Kiki delivery is good for Logan. I had heard that too. I think
it's cute.
Who told me that? Someone online told me that Kiki delivery, because that's the one that has to do with cats, right? He does like cats, so maybe.
Kiki's delivery service, she's a witch. She does have a cat.
Okay.
Yeah.
If there is a cat, like for Logan, it's all about music, which is why like Nightmare Before Christmas was a sure win.
Got it.
But if even like Disney movies, if it goes too long in between songs, he's checked out.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Same. That's why Disney's so effective, huh?
Amy gets it. Amy feels
it. Oh yeah. Totally get you, Logan.
What
have you been reading?
My reading this week is such a cop out. I'm just going to say it right now. I spend all my time playing and watching, and very little of my time, especially in quarantine life, reading. Normally when I'm driving back and forth to studios for hosting work is when I listen to audiobooks. And since we're stuck at home, that's just not a thing that happens. So I don't get time to myself to do something like sit down and read or listen to anything. So what I said for this week, I am actually reading a lot of self-care articles because of everything going on in the world right now and kind of feeling like I need to de-stress and I need to get a handle on what pandemic life feels like and looks like moving into the future as well, since this isn't anything that we're just going to snap our fingers and it'll be over or anything like that. So a lot of self-care articles and a lot of mindfulness apps and meditation apps, again, to try to just make sure that I'm taking care of myself from a mental health perspective and looking for ways to de-stress where I think it's super important to do that. So I thought I would recommend that to everybody watching, that if you need a way to de-stress and kind of check out, to just remember to take a moment to, you know, disconnect from the stuff that's stressing you out, whether that be news or anything else that's going on in the world, and just take a moment to breathe and have some self-care, have a little bit of self-care, whatever that is for you.
I have a life hack with that, which I have been utilizing, and it has been amazing because I'm the same. My morning routine has done a 180 after listening to all these habit books. And I have my mat down in my living space, and I just go, Alexa, play guided meditation. And there is a new guided meditation that they talk you through it. And like, it actually kind of like, oh, welcome back. You've meditated for 51 minutes this week. So it kind of like keeps track of how you're going with it, but it's a whole new, like, roll the dice. It's a different guided meditation every single day. And that has been amazing. And the problem is when I'm like all settled in, I'm like, Alexa, play guided meditation. And she's like, let's do a guided meditation. Just start by saying play meditation in my accent. I'm like, all right, play meditation. I'm sorry, I can't understand you. I'm like, play meditation. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, did you want to try this? And I'm like, no. Did you want to buy a dates? And I'm like, no. So by the time I actually get through there, I'm like,
yeah.
Dang it, play it. I need it.
Yeah.
So funny. STS says, Trisha, what apps have you been using? The one that I'm trying out now that is okay is one that my health insurance, my doctor suggested. It's the UCLA mindfulness app. It's free, but I'm like within the UCLA health network for my insurance. So they recommended that. And I'm trying it out, but I will admit it's hard for me to get down with like mindfulness and meditation apps. Normally it does not appeal to who I am at the core. Like, who I am at the core is a very like efficiency, analytical mind. So when I get an app where it's like, picture yourself on a whatever, I'm like, yeah, can you get to the point? Where am I picturing myself?
And what it looks like,
which is exactly the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing in these apps, and I understand that, and that's some self-work that I need to do. But when I am able to kind of like get into the zone and focus on that, it is so beneficial and so very helpful. We had an app for a while, my husband did, that was like, someone had gifted it to us. It was an app where you listen to a meditation, like as you're falling asleep, and it tells you to picture stuff and has like sounds and stuff like that. And I couldn't get down with it. I was like, this is driving me crazy. That. I'm actually not falling asleep because this is on.
So I've been getting really bad insomnia where I will wake up every morning at 3 a.m. Sometime between 1:30 and 3, I'll wake up and I'll be awake for about an hour and a half. And I will put on my audiobook for like half an hour. Because when you're up like that, you just start thinking. So the good thing about an audiobook is it stops you from thinking because you're listening. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of think about the story and then you just drift off to sleep again. So that's been really, so I'm churning through books. Like, I'm listening to my hour long walk in the morning, I'm listening to my books. At night, I'm listening to my books. And then at night again in the morning, because I'm before I get up, morning, middle of the night, well, I'm listening to books.
Yep, maybe that's what I should start doing, because I wake up in the middle of the night pretty often and I'm usually stressing about all the stuff I need to get done the next day, or like that I didn't get done the day before that's now getting pushed to the next day. So maybe if I just start listening to audiobooks, that'll give me something else to focus on. Instead, I'm 100% that cartoon of like the person that puts the pillow over their head and is like just trying to force myself to go back to sleep, which, you know, does not
never works for me.
Work.
No. And they even say to get up, put all the lights on and like pretend it's nighttime again. So that when you go to bed, it resets and your mind can actually be like, oh, it's bedtime. It's time to fall asleep.
Interesting. I've never heard that.
Instead of staying in a dark room with the lights off, trying to will yourself back to sleep. Oh, I've had some pretty insane insomnia. And when I traveled a lot, different time zones, and I had to reacclimatize really, really quickly. And without fail, I would not sleep through the night. And then I would be deep, deep sleep for the first half an hour and then my alarm would go off. So I'd get half an hour of deep sleep and that's it. Oh. So that whole night was excruciating.
I get it.
But you know what else is? Not traveling.
But yeah, that's everything we've been reading. So that's our power. Should we get into some bombs away Q&A?
Let's do it.
Okay, so Amy has sourced questions from Geek Bomb Discord, and we'll be sourcing questions from Twitch chat. So go ahead and throw them in there. I know someone mentioned way earlier in the show and chat, but I didn't want to forget it, that they wanted to know what Amy's Twitch channel was so that they can go follow Amy. Amy, what's your Twitch channel? I'll put it into chat right now.
twitch.tv/AmyCassandraMTZ. It rhymes.
Amy, Cassandra,
got it. There you go. I just put that link in chat so you can all go follow Amy, which is awesome sauce. So yeah, ask those questions, whatever they may be, in Twitch, and hopefully we'll get to some of them. Amy, what you got for us?
So this one's from Ollie over on patreon.com/geekbomb. Have you ever met somebody in real life that hilariously reminded you of a character in a TV show or movie?
Whoa. Oh, yeah, actually. My one of my closest friends, I went to high school with her, and now she lives 5 minutes down the road, which is so funny that we're both in Brisbane and we're here. But she was obsessed with Sex and the City to the point where she has quite literally become Carrie. Like, mannerisms, how she would say things, smoking, you name it. So that was really, really funny that, like, she just emulated Carrie. What's Sarah Jessica Parker's character? So hard. Yeah.
I mean, that's not a bad way to be.
No.
Everybody likes Sarah Jessica Parker's character, so.
Yeah.
She was the main one. I'm trying to think if I have ever met someone that I just thought, oh my God, you're this person from this movie. I don't know that I have, or at least not that I can think of right now. Amy?
Kind of, but only like in an annoying way. If it's like an annoying character, be like, oh, that's who they remind me of.
I've got one. Guys, I've got one. I've got one.
Go, Mad, go.
I used to work in retail with my friend Jeremy, and I was like, who do you remind me? It was bothering me. I was like, my God, you look, you sound, and you speak like the Sid from Ice Age.
He did this. Oh my God.
He didn't take it well, but I couldn't let it go. Because everything about, he had like big eyes and he's kind of like, he looked like fucking Sid, man. Like, it was insane. And now, like, he's, it's like a weird story. His sister-in-law is my really, really good friend, and it's all just like that. But, oh, guys, you have no idea. He's like, I don't sound like Sid. And I'm like, okay. All right. This is from Ice Age. Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. I thought it was a compliment.
I can't think of any. If I think of any, I'll let you know. But no one comes
that
to mind.
That is a solid insult. Oh, no. Oh, no. I didn't mean for it to be.
Oh, no.
Next question is from Jeff Lambert. What does it take for you to abandon a book, a movie/show, a game? I find my own threshold hard to identify, but I know when I've reached it.
For me, if it's too gross and I'm not getting enough good out of it to balance out the gross, like, that's what happened to me with Ratched. I tapped out of Ratched. It's actually what happened to me with Breaking Bad. And everyone in my life has been like, it's the best series ever. You just got to get past that episode. You got to go back and give it another shot. And I was like,
what's the episode?
It's only a few episodes in, I think. I don't want to say any spoilers, but the bathtub episode?
I can't remember. There was like a chunk of story when Pinkman's house kind of gets overtaken and ends up being a drug den. That actually physically made me feel sort of like a little anxious. So I had to push through that moment. I think it was like season 4. And I did not like that. I think for me, if it's just boring, if it cannot retain my attention.
Yes, everybody in chat knows the bathtub part that I'm talking about. Yes. I got to that part and I was like, nope, gonna throw up now. That's the most gross thing I've ever seen in my entire life and I'm done. I don't care how good everybody says this series is. I am out. Super out.
Oh, they got to put him in the vat of acid?
And then,
yeah. Yeah.
And then it like falls, like the bat, it disintegrates the tub and falls through. Yeah, no. Nah, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, that's what it takes for me to tap out usually. Or I agree with you, Maude, if something's just like, just boring. In fact, this is funny. I will admit it. I tapped out of reading the first Game of Thrones book twice before I finally finished it. At different periods in my life. I tried reading it in college, got bored and tapped out early. I tried reading it again, I guess probably shortly after I moved to LA and stopped and moved on to something else. And then it was while I was working at SourceFed, so later in my time in LA, that I was like, I'm finally going to finish this book. And I sat down and I read it, and it took me until the very last chapter to be like, oh shit, the series. Yeah. And then I like binged the rest of the books. But it the was first just book I tapped out on twice.
Yeah, because it was like, this is, you know, Clinton from Escobo, and here are all his titles, and these are his 17 cousins, and then I'll never talk about them again.
Yeah, well, like, a lot of fantasy books are like that, so I was kind of used to that part.
Okay.
But there was nothing, like, I'm used to trudging through that part for the really good moments, but for me, at least, Game of Thrones didn't pick up until the end of the first book.
Yeah, I read them all. I don't remember not liking the first one, though.
Did you read them after the series already started?
Yeah.
So you already knew it was going to get good.
Yeah.
That was my thing, is I was like, so the person who recommended it to me was like, no, 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 you're going to love it, I swear. But that was one person's opinion, and I didn't have the rest of the hype going with it to keep me going. So I kept being like, is it though? Amy, what makes you tap out of something?
Well, with games, it's if I get stuck. With movies and shows, it's if I'm annoyed by it. I'm like, that's stupid. And with books, if I'm just not feeling it, you know, because sometimes, like, I very much have to be in the mood to read the book and to sit down and, like, read it. But, yeah, I mean, I guess it depends for each thing. But, yeah.
I bowed out of Discovery of Witches. I really liked the first book, and a series came out, which was fine. But the first book was really, really great. And then the second book, they went back in time. So it was whole new characters, whole new circumstance, whole new situation. And listening to the audiobook, there is a deaf character, and the narrator is talking like a deaf person in it.
Oh.
And it's really uncomfortable.
Oh, it's really uncomfortable.
Got it.
So, yeah. Yeah. And I was just like, nah, there's just too many things here that I just don't need to keep listening to it.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that for sure.
And apparently the series is so good. I was like, I couldn't get through the second book. And Westworld, same sort of thing, where it's like the first season of Westworld was so great because it's like you really establish the characters, you establish the world building. And then the second season, it was like, all right, cool, whole new place. Sort of the same characters, but not really. We'll focus on one and then put them in a new world building. And then I'm like, I'm not in.
So I'll ask you this, Maude. Are there any anthology series like that that you have been super into where even though they change setting and change all the characters, you're still totally down?
Yes. I need some examples, though.
Okay.
Anthology series that I've liked.
Black Mirror is an anthology series.
Love Black Mirror. Love Black Mirror. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'd also add that, like, with so many things, especially with movies and TV shows, is that there's so much going on that that show or movie or that show mostly needs to be good enough for you to keep coming back every single episode and not go to the next thing, you know?
Yeah, Westworld really suffered for that because apparently season 3 was great. They pivoted a lot. But, like, I didn't go through season 2 because I'm here going, are you allowed to have a bad season when this amount of programming out there? Can you just have, oh, if you get through season 2, starts getting really good. It's like, you can't, no.
Yeah.
Schitt's Creek, season 1, slow, really tries to find its feet. Apparently, 100% every single season after that.
Can I tell you, so we just got to season 3. And this is the first season in season 3 where I kind of hit that point where I was like, I love it. I got to season three, and I'm like, I love it. I cannot wait to watch it every night when I sit down when I'm done my day. But it took me until season three to feel that way.
Did I still womp, 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 like every 49 seconds? Because that was getting bothersome for me in the
what
first
do you mean?
Season. The tuba.
Oh, like yeah, probably. I don't even notice that, though. It's not something that stuck out to me enough to.
That's all I can hear. Womp, womp.
No, for me, it took me that long to really get to know the characters and to see them as more than just caricatures.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why
I'm like, they're really over the top. Oh my God, shut up. Yeah,
but now I love it. Now I'm fully on board into it.
Actually, it was a little bit hard. What's the mum's name again?
Moira.
Moira Rose. It was really a little bit difficult to establish that this is how she was going to talk the whole
time. Well, and her accent is different all the time. It constantly changes.
Oh. Yeah.
Which makes it so funny now that I'm like, oh, Moira. But like before, I'm with you, Maude. I was like, what is even up with this woman?
Yeah, the first season was a bit of a trudge. Yeah. But anyway, I'll keep going with that one. Good question.
Yeah. This one's also a really good one from STS2884 over on Twitch. What's your most memorable boss battle you beat in a video game?
I think Ganon, playing sword tennis with Ganon was really fun.
Most memorable final battle.
I think like OG Pokemon was always huge, like when you had to have your top six. That was always really
fun. I don't
fun.
Know. There's so many good ones. There's so many good ones. Like any of the last levels, if you had like a speedrun platforming level in like Celeste or Ori, either of the Ori games, those boss battles are like crazy when you finally beat them because they're so hard. Classy Librarian brings up Hell House in Final Fantasy VII Remake. Yes, definitely. And then throwing it
back.
Yeah,
that was so full on. House was just going for it. I've never had to fight a house before.
Hell House is rough. Then like taking it back to like the super old school boss battle days where you just had to memorize their patterns. Big thing that moves around in Bubble Bobble. That guy's so hard. Or like the original NES Little Mermaid game, you have to beat you have to beat Big Little Ursula, then Big Ursula. But Little Ursula is actually harder than Big Ursula. So once you get past Little Ursula, then you're kind of in the home stretch. So many. There's so many boss battles that I remember that are so, so hard. STS2884 says the Valkyries from God of War. Oh, Shadow of the Colossus. The whole game's a boss battle. GK Gamer fan. But yeah, I agree with you.
I like, Zelda does a really good job with her boss battles. I really like those.
Chad is now making fun of me because I had to beat Hell House twice because it took me so long to beat Hell House that as soon as I finally beat it on stream, that's where I ended the stream. And that game auto-saves anytime you go into a new chapter. So I thought it auto-saved. Ended the stream, like had to go make dinner for my family, didn't come back to it for a few days, fired up the stream to get ready to go again, and it started me just before the Hell House battle. And I'm like on stream going, what? What? No. So I had to do it again. I did it twice.
It takes forever.
Well, I am happy to report when I had to do it again on stream, because I had figured out what the strategy was, it went
fire damage, right? Fire damage was best on Hell House?
Hell House constantly changes. So you need to read its signs and then hit it with whatever the opposite is.
Maybe that's why it took me so long.
Yeah, it takes a long time. But I think once I had figured out like what the materia outfitting that you needed was for it and everything, then it was okay. But still, beating it twice, not fun game. Not fun. Mm. But I
good
did
question.
It. But I did.
Someone was saying that Hades boss battles changing their tune during every run. I think I'm going to dip into Hades. I've downloaded it.
Yeah, I have it downloaded too and just haven't had a chance to mess with it yet because there's so many good games out right now.
Yeah, I've got to play a bit more Baldur's Gate 3.
I love it. I'm still not as far as you are, I don't think, Maude, but
I had to start well, again, dude. Because I needed to get the fighter.
All I've been hearing from everybody is how gnarly the Goblin Town is, and I'm sure I've only barely scratched the surface, but so far, I am pretty confident in my combat skills.
Okay.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling like my strategy is working. I mean, don't get me wrong, I have certainly had some total party kills.
It's, you know what? I feel like I'm doing great, but it's my absolute fuck knuckle of a team that just, like, one of them kept standing in acid, and I would move him. And then as soon as I would go back into my position, he'd walk into the acid again and then die. And I'm like, yeah, I got.
Maude, I cannot tell you how many times last stream I had one character sneaking, right? And, like, sneaking into a good position. And then the whole rest of my party just walks right on in all willy-nilly. Yes! And suddenly I'm in combat. I'm like,
or I'll jump over a ravine and then they bugger off to, like, run 722 kilometers around.
That's exactly what happened to me. Yep. I had someone jump, like, to try to come behind the enemy, and everybody else just decided to run a marathon straight into the main gate.
Oh, yeah, it's a headache. This game is, like, it's broken. Like, there's a lot of patching to do.
but I actually don't think that's a patch that they're going to fix. I think that we just need to get better about grouping and ungrouping. And they may change how they group and ungroup. Because one of the things that drives me crazy is when you go to camp and then you try to bring someone back from camp and only one of your party members comes back from camp.
Which, I haven't had that happen yet.
So if you're in camp resting for the night and then you do fast travel, only the person selected fast travels. So bless someone's heart in my chat who was like, just click on the sleeping bag to go back to where you were. Oh, thanks, because that makes sense. No one ever tells you just click on the sleeping bag to go to sleep. Sure. Click on the sleeping bag to fast travel back to where you were. That's how you do it. And then your whole party travels instead of actually clicking fast travel, which only travels one person.
I would also have it where I ran out of revive scrolls. And so if someone in your party is dead, you can't go back to camp to heal. You can't leave them behind. You can't do anything. You're kind of tethered to them being a dead anchor.
Wait, what about the dude in camp who revives your dudes?
But you can't go to the camp if they're dead.
Oh, what?
Oh.
I thought that's what that guy did. I haven't had to use him yet. But yeah. I thought that's what he did.
Oh, the devil dude?
Yeah.
I just got him. I didn't have him in the first game. I only got him in the second try.
And I don't mean the devil dude, but now I don't want to tell you who I mean because maybe just in your playthrough you haven't gotten him.
No, tell me. I'm not a stickler for spoilers. I'm a stickler for getting through it.
This skelly guy. This skelly that just hangs out at your camp and is like, if one of your party members dies, just come to me.
What?
Yes, yeah, skelly dude.
Okay, I'm playing BG3 tonight. Skelly dude?
Yeah, and so I found him just because I got nosy around my camp. I just fully explored the map area around my camp.
I did not.
And yeah, skelly dude. He said, just come to me if a party member dies.
It infuriates me so much. Like, I fucking hate this game, but I cannot stop thinking about it. And, like, it would be, it's masochistic. And I'd be, like, trying not to cry playing this game. And, like, I nearly defeated in the Goblin Camp. I defeated 2 out of 3 and was on to the third. Like, I was making progress. But then these other little things. Yeah, there's some quotes there. I fucked up so much of this and now I've got these soft fucking hot pockets on my team. Yeah, that sounds about right. But then I'd wake up in the morning and be like, oh, I gotta play. I have to play more Baldur's Gate.
I feel like that with Baldur's Gate, but I'm without the anger. I just feel like, oh my God, I'm so excited to play Baldur's Gate some more.
I couldn't figure out the tomb. I had the key, but I couldn't figure out where to put the key. But I opened up the tomb and then boom, there was just like poison damage everywhere. And then the shot me. So I watched all my party die and then I would die. And I was like, what? That was bad.
Well, then you just load your latest quick save and try again, friend.
Yeah, there was 2 hours of that. And it was just like, total party kill. And I'm like, I guess I'm not opening. Look at what it's doing to me.
Namaste. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. I'm so into it.
All right, we'll play. Which brings us to our announcement.
Oh, it is a good time for our announcement. So yeah, we have two announcements, I guess. Maud, do you want to take the first one?
So we started Power Up and Power Down as a way to kind of connect and do this show through COVID. Because initially, I mean, gosh, Amy, when did we first figure out this idea? December, November, last year? And it was going to be a podcast. What is time? And I ended up combining two different shows into one, but it was something that I thought would be really, really great to do over COVID. We've all been getting into Twitch a whole lot more. And I think that we are going to put Power Up on a little bit of a hiatus so that Trish and I can focus on playing video games. And this is episode 31. So for the last 31 weeks, we have been playing, watching, and reading as much as we possibly can to deliver this show. But yeah, Trisha and I are going to spend our Thursday evenings. We still have to kind of figure out some of the deets on that because I'm about to hit partner.
Yay!
Yeah.
And once Geek Bomb partners up, then we can officially squad stream. So exactly. The plan kind of moving forward for this time chunk that we have been doing Power Up and Power Down is just going to be a low-key chill hangout with you guys playing games, whatever it may be, but kind of less pressure to create a super crafted show and more just funsy hangout time because I think we all need the release at least for a little bit. So that's what we're going to be doing. So there will still be content. It's just going to be a little bit more low-key content, not quite as formulaic, if you will. And then Amy has an announcement too.
So I've been with Geek Bomb for 2.5 years now. And the 15th of November will be my last day. So today's a big day for all of us. It is my last episode of Power Up ever. So yeah, it's been really fun to be able to learn how to play video games.
And reading books now?
Read books, but I mean, to bring back the love of reading, and with everything that's been going on and like learning that way, that was something new. Obviously like watching more stuff and getting to geek out with y'all about it. But yeah, my goodness, all of the different games that I've tried to play and just hearing y'all talk about it, hearing everyone in the chat talk about it. Oh my goodness. Getting to create a lot of stuff with Geek Bomb has been amazing. So keep following everything that Geek Bomb's doing, and obviously like Trisha as well. Hello. It's bittersweet, but I'm excited for what the future holds for all of us. I have hope. I've definitely become a bit of a gamer, and I'm excited to see what else I could play.
One of us.
Yeah.
I am putting your Twitch into chat again. And I know we just got the socials up there. So, of course, please go follow Amy on Twitter. Go follow Amy on Twitch. Follow Amy on all of the things. And I don't know if you're allowed to say yet, Amy, but Classy Librarian asked in chat, mm-hmm. What's next for you? Where are you going to? Are you allowed to give us any spoilers on that front?
No, but you can follow me on Twitch.
Okay. So follow Amy if you want to see what's next. That's what we can say.
So yeah, big announcements. We're going into holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
Just chilling out and unwinding a little bit as well.
Yes, mm-hmm. Which will be very needed, I think, and very nice. Yeah. Yay! So that's been Power Up this week. Thank you all so very much for watching. This, like I said, we'll go on hiatus, but we'll still have some fun content right around this time, at least on Twitch. We'll see what that means for the Geek Bomb YouTube channel as well for people who are watching this on YouTube. Stay tuned for further announcements. Huzzah!
Yeah, cool.
All right. Well, I want to take a moment to thank everybody, of course, who engaged with the Twitch stream today that I didn't have notifications on for because we're recording this. So let's see who else we got. Classy Librarian kicked us off with a raid. Thank you so much, Classy. Zraken75, resubbed and says, hello, hello back to you. A couple new follows here and there. Red River 32 says, love you, Trish, with 100 bits. Thank you so much. I appreciate the cheer. Ooh. And love right back to Ooh. You. Maface gifted a sub to Lanny. Lanvy, were you in chat today? Was Lanvy in chat today, or are you just remembering that from Twitch Weekly this morning? Lanvy's one of the awesome devs who works on Amazon Luna, who I had the opportunity to interview this morning on the weekly for Twitch Gaming. Okay. Very, very cool. And a couple hosts going on. Thank you so much. Disco Cobra 2013 gave a resub. Appreciate it. Thank you. And yeah, thank you. Thank you to all of you. And there's Geek Bomb in chat as well.
Oh yeah, I'm showing off my new emotes. My last emotes were really, really small, so they're a little bit bigger now, but Moderator is in there. This is so cool.
Do it. Awesome. Thank you, everybody, so much for watching, and we shall see you soon. And you know what? We almost never raid after the show, so let's see if we can find a good raid. Who is on right now that we can raid? Let's see. Looks like Kate is on playing some good stuff. Kate is playing Among Us.
It's Kate.
Roby is on doing a build, probably with that new Ryzen, if I had to guess. So if you want to watch PC building. Luxie Games is trying out some new indie games. Vince is also on playing Among Us. I bet Vince and Kate are probably playing together.
Which Kate?
Kate Stark. Do you know Kate Stark? You don't know Kate Stark? Oh, she's an amazing human being. Drunkle says, do Among Us. All right, so let's raid Vince's Among Us because I'm going to guess. Yeah, Vinny is playing Among Us with Kate and many others. That's what I thought. It's the same group I play Among Us with a lot, so it's probably Gary Whitta, Vince Casso, Becca Scott, Kate Stark. There's like a whole... Occasionally T-Pain, occasionally Jason Mewes. Just every now and then people jump on. Oh, Enthusi Amy's on too. Awesome, awesome. So let's go ahead. We're going to give a quick raid. Raid to... Kate has a whole bunch of people watching right now. So let's raid Vince. Vinny the Cheese, Ray. If you will. So everybody go and tell Vince that we said hi. And take care of yourselves, okay? Breathe, de-stress. Know that we're sending positive vibes your way. And we shall see you soon. Thanks for watching, everybody. Bye!